Hello. Good morning. It's good to see you. I'm glad that we're going to get to spend a few moments together. They're going to be back in a few minutes, but before then, I wanted to come out and just kind of talk about a couple things to kind of catch us up to speed with where we're at. Of course, we're in the series I Am. And last week, we talked about holy and God being holy and all of that stuff, and that's a lot of stuff. No doubt, I feel overwhelmed even trying to explain that. And the reason being is because the word holy in of itself is kind of like the end of language. It's kind of like the last word that we've got to describe something that there's nothing else to go any further than that. It's almost kind of like the whole, you know, idea that, you know, way back in the day, that we thought that when you traveled so far into the ocean, eventually you would fall off the earth. And it's kind of that thought, only kind of applying that to our language and understanding that that's who God is, and that's as close as we can get to it, because truthfully, we can't really describe what we don't know. And the biggest part of God is the fact that He is holy. In a passage of Scripture that I want to share with you this morning out of Isaiah 46, it shares some stuff with us, and it says in Isaiah 46, verses 9 through 10, "Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please." Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of makes me excited. Because basically, he's just saying, I'm it. I'm the man. It's all about me. We're going to talk a little bit later in the service this morning about just that thought and just that train of thought and just that thinking about God being it. And for a lot of us, that's a hard thing that we struggle with, because we've always been taught different things about who God is and about how He relates to us, and sometimes that's messed that up. But I just want to just kind of give you a few things this morning. And one of those things is that the very definition of holy is not just something that's just perfect, but something unexplainable, like what I was talking about just a minute ago. But basically, I just want to just kind of put this on you and just kind of say that God is holy and holy is God. You say, well, Chris, that's kind of simple, and I don't really understand that. There's really nothing more to understand about that. I want you to hear it again. God is holy and holy is God. You see, there are not other things that can be said to be holy. Now, God has the power to make things holy, but as far as like something that is just as it is holy, there's only one, and it's God. I mean, that's it. And that's a big thing, and it's a big thing for us to wrap our minds around this morning. And I'm just going to tell you, we're going to be stretched a little bit even today with some of the stuff that we're talking about. But if you can't pick up on the importance of God's holiness, and how that's laying the groundwork for everything else that we understand about God, I'm just telling you, you've got to get a grip on it. You've got to begin to just begin that journey toward trying to understand who God is and what His holiness has to do with anything. Truth is God's holiness has to do with everything, because God's holiness is attached to everything else that God is. There's no running away from the holiness for God. I mean, like, you know, God is love and He's just and He's all of these other things. But, you know, something for us to understand this morning is that God's holiness is attached to all of those things. And it makes all of those things different than even what we understand those things to be. That God's love is so different than any other love that we've ever seen, because it's a holy love. And we get that. He gives that to us. You see, holiness, holy, the very root of that word could even be said to be completely other, separated, something that has nothing to do with anything else. But here's the cool thing about this. Holy, being separated, completely other, typically what we would think of as having nothing to do with anything else, our God is that, and He has something to do with us. And that ought to trip you up this morning, if nothing else will. And so, let me just kind of pose this question for you this morning. Can you separate holy from God? Can you separate holy from God? You can't separate holy from God. There is nothing that can separate holy from God. Not only is there nothing, but what makes all of this so hard for us to handle is the whole idea that God is holy and that holy is God. And for us just to continue to understand that there is something out there that we can't completely understand, but He loves us. And that He wants a relationship with us, and that He created us in His image. And for a lot of us, we're acting out some of His image in a sinful way at times, because we are all about us. And I'm just kind of here to throw something on you this morning, and this is what we're going to talk a little bit more about here in just a few minutes. But that is that God is all about Himself. And this is not the Sunday school God that a lot of us got taught when we were growing up, or that you heard people go, oh, you know, God just loves you, you know, and yes, God does love you. And God is that, partly the Sunday school God probably that you got taught to, some of that, not the old man God or some of those others that we talked about, Santa Claus God a few weeks ago. But God is all about Himself. You see, God being holy brings about something that He can't even help. It is His nature, His very nature, to be about Himself, to make Him number one. Do you realize that? Do you realize that He is more important to Himself than we are important to Him? He is more concerned about Himself and His glory than He is worried about us and our glory. Because that just shatters our world. Because that's not what we want to hear, because we want to hear that it's about us and, oh, you know, oh, how He loves me and, oh, you know, all this stuff. And yes, He loves us, but more importantly, He loves Himself. And there's a cycle here that begins with God and His holiness and that unexplainable perfection. It's a lot. It's a lot to think about. But that's our God, and that's who He is. And nothing, not even one little thing, nothing that we could come up with on this planet, nothing that we've ever heard anybody make up, as creative as they may have been, nothing in the world, nothing in the universe, nothing at all ever today, yesterday, ever will be, nothing can determine God's holiness. He's just holy. But that's our God. And that's the God that we get to worship, and that's the God that we get to have a relationship with. And yes, that is the God that loves us. Yes, that is the God that sent His Son to die on a cross for us. That is that God. And this morning, we're going to continue to worship together in song. And I want to just encourage you in this. What is your response to that? What is your response to being next to the Holy God? What is your response to singing to Him? What is your response to just going, oh, gosh, you know, He wants to have a relationship with me. That's kind of hitting home right now because, gosh, He sure doesn't need me. We need Him. And this morning, this passage of Scripture in the book of 1 Samuel very simply states something for us that I think is worth noting. And it says this: there is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. I want you to read it with me. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Read it with me one more time. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. God, we thank you so much for allowing us to get to be here, to worship you, to love you as you have loved us. It is such an amazing thing. God, we are very undeserving of it. God, and we take it for granted. And it's one of those things that, Lord, if we lived in another country somewhere else where people said we couldn't do this, God, it would mean a lot more maybe. But Lord, for right now, for this moment in time, for the folks that are in this room, by no accident, God, did you bring anyone here today? But God, for them to understand and better get a glimpse of your glory and your holiness. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you just put it on us. God, in a way that we could just turn around and that we could reflect it back to you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in your name, I pray. Amen. Have a seat. Just out of curiosity, anybody in here that loves a good game of hide and seek? Show of hands, please. Hide and seek. Okay. This might justify a church-wide game. We may work on that, actually. I've played hide and seek, I'm sure like you. I've played hide and seek so many different ways. And, you know, when I was growing up, we had this little deal. When I was a student and going to church, and we had the student ministry thing, we'd go on retreats, and we'd be out in the woods at these places, and we'd play this game called Underground Church, which is basically like a glorified game of sardines, and let's, you know, tag, like, you know, Christians and bad people are trying to find Christians and all this kind of stuff. So basically, that's kind of what Underground Church was. About the only thing that I really gained from that game was learning later on that as a student minister that I should not trust my students to go hide in the woods together, especially in mixed company. And so, needless to say, I haven't played Underground Church in a very long time. Another version of hide and go seek that I remember playing when I was a student, but driving at this point, was we played hide and go seek with our cars. I don't know, has anybody in here ever done that? Just out of curiosity, hide and go seek with cars. Shannon, you'd be on that. Basically, the way that works, we actually started because, you know, typical of some hide and go seeks where you got to tag the person before they get back to base. We felt like there needed to be some kind of tagging, but none of us wanted to rub paint. So we were using the big fun noodles that you have at the pool. You know what I'm talking about? And so we would be like riding around Jolton and Cheatham County, you know, with these fun noodles hanging out our windows. It looked real great. And the thing that we learned is that was a little bit dangerous. And so then we kind of knocked that down to let's use the headlights. Let's just go with headlights. And if you get tagged by the headlights, because usually it was at night anyway, then you're out and, you know, you didn't make it back to base. So I guess you're it, or, you know, you got to buy the Mountain Dews that night or something. So hide and seek, one of those things that, you know, I think we all kind of have some fond memories of. And I want to read you a passage of Scripture that brings out kind of something that I don't know that a lot of us have really ever thought about before, and it's such a great passage of Scripture, and it's Leviticus 10:3, just this one verse. And I want you to check out what this verse says. And in this verse it says, God says, I will show myself holy among those who are near me, and before all the people I will be glorified. God shows himself as holy to those that are near him. And so this poses a different question for us this morning. And the question that it poses is the question, are you near God right now? And you go, well, Chris, I'm at church. Can I get any closer to God? Yes, you can. I have been to some churches where I didn't see God while I was there. And I don't mean that bad toward any of those churches, but I'm just telling you, this has nothing to do with being at church. This has to do with where are you at in your journey, in your walk with Jesus Christ. This passage of Scripture says, God says, I will show myself holy among those who are near me. But this is cool. This is really cool. The second part of this passage says, and before all the people, I will be glorified. You see, God's holiness is so cool because God's holiness is almost like this, it's like this hidden thing. When we see God's holiness, it comes out. And this is a huge statement, so I want you to get this. When we see God's holiness, it comes out and we see it as His glory. And that word today, I know, is a word that's thrown around a lot in churches, and I want you to get that word glory. And I want you just to kind of tag that on with God as being all things that are good about God, okay? Some of you get that? It's all things that are good with God. That's His glory. You may call it majesty. You may call it something else. But I mean, it's radiant. It's like there. We're seeing it in creation. In fact, last week, we read this passage of Scripture out of Isaiah. And we saw the seraphim, which were these crazy six-winged things that are flying around God, and they're worshiping God in this deal, this vision, in this time when Isaiah meets with God and this whole crazy thing. And in the middle of all that, they say, the whole earth is full of your glory, God. Full of it. And we're surrounded by God's glory. You see, God's holiness is His glory. When we see God's holiness come out, we're seeing God's glory manifested in things that maybe are tangible. We're seeing God work through amazing things. I've seen God work through amazing things. Every time I get to go speak, I can't even help it. I spoke this past week at a high school for just a few minutes. And just in the middle of all that, I just began to just really encourage these students by saying this, look, when you pray, don't pray like you don't believe that God is listening to you. God is listening to you if you're seeking Him with all your heart. Jeremiah tells us that. And I just told him, I said, look, our church has prayed many times. And every time we've prayed as a church, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but every time, and we can track this back through the history of 24 Church, every time we've gotten together as a church and gotten on our knees with our hearts, God has answered whatever it was that we were asking for. Every time. Of course, we're not in here every week going, you know, hey, God, you know, we would really love, you know, to have a new sound system. The old one's falling apart or something. You know, we haven't done that. We're very particular about when we go to God and say, God, when we're coming to you, when we're praying to you, God, we want to ask for things that are in your will. But I'm telling you, God moves. And when He does, we see His glory. We see His majesty. We see this unbelievable thing. You see, the holiness of God is His concealed glory. The holiness of God is His concealed glory. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's so hard, and even I have struggled with talking about the subject of God's holiness. I mean, I can take holiness and apply it to a person. I can talk about that all day long. You try for yourself. Do a little study and see what you can come up with God's holiness. And you sit down and see if you could come up with a little lesson on that and just really kind of get ready to throw all that out without talking about all of God's attributes and all these other things and just talk about God's holiness. And the reason that it's so hard is because it's something that we don't see. When we do see it, it comes out as His glory, His majesty. The most unbelievable things that we will ever see in this world truly are from Him. His glory, as I even mentioned this last week, is kind of, you know, the same thing as God's fame. You know, when you think about fame, when you think about things that are famous or people that are famous, you know, the more media attention that they get, the more talk that people have around them, they have more and more and more glory all the time. God's glory is no different. In the fact that we are a part of giving him glory. But the truth be known, if you look at New Testament, you'll see that the scripture says that even the rocks will cry out. That passage of scripture, maybe you've heard that passage before, maybe you have not. I want to just kind of clarify what that's talking about. And basically, Jesus is just kind of looking at folks, and he's saying, yeah, he's talking to religious folks, which is pretty typical of Jesus because he kind of got always into these little conversations with these guys. And basically, they're saying, hey, you know, we're here, we're doing the thing. And Jesus is looking at them and going, well, you know, you're not acting like you're really doing the thing. You're not really acting like you love God, but here's the real deal. If you don't worship, the rocks will. You see, God is going to be glorified. And in fact, that passage in Leviticus that we read just a second ago, how does it finish off? And before all the people, I will be glorified. It does not say, you know, if generations of Christians decide to get their junk together and really move and do something for me, then that'll be great, and I'm going to get glorified because of that. No. God says this. He says, I will be glorified. And so kind of the picture of this for us today is just for us to understand that there's a train, and it's going. And God is moving, and it's on the track, and it's not slowing down. And either we're getting on or we're getting off. And I think for so many of us, we've got this twist tied because we're in this culture of it's all about me. And so we're thinking, well, I've got a train, and I'm going, and I've got my thing, and we're chug-a-lugging, you know, down through here. And so I want God to get on or get off. But that's not it. You see, God's thing is going all the time. And either we're on that or we're not. And we've gotten it so into our heads that it's like, you know, oh, I got to get God into my life. Huh. No, we got to get into God's life. We've got to get into what God is doing. And the question has been posed, are you near God? Because it's when you're near God that you get to see a glimpse of his holiness. And how awesome is that? I mean, what more could you want than that? And for some of you in here today, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been a Christian for maybe a while or maybe even a short period of time, but you have tasted the goodness of what happens when you get to see God's glory, when you get to see God move, when you get to be a part of something that God is doing. And I'm just telling you, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, but some of you have never even experienced that. And it's because you've been trying to put God on your train. And God doesn't want to ride your train, and he's not buying a ticket today. And he's not going to buy a ticket tomorrow. He is waiting for you at the station to jump on. And it's a jump on kind of deal because he's not slowing down at the depot for you. Just jump on. He said, well, life is crazy for me, Chris. You don't know. I know it's crazy. And that's why it's just a jump on. It's not a slow down and then jump on. It's not a life is going to slow down and then you jump on. It's not everything is going to be all right and then you're going to jump on. It's not I'm going to get my ducks in a row and then I'm going to jump on. Just jump. Just go. Go with what God wants for you. His glory will change you. His moving in your life will absolutely erase everything that you've known just about. And you'll want to restart the whole thing. The more and more I study about this, the less and less I care about so much stuff that's in my life. I just want you to know that. That's exactly where I've been. That's exactly where I was at last night, just studying through Scripture and just going, God, being closer to you makes me just not care about the junk. That's a great thing. But I think for a lot of us in here, we're just so good at being Americans that we just love junk so much that we don't know if we can do that. And I'm just here to tell you that the junk is worthless. And I've had a lot of it, and I've still got a bunch of it, and it's still worthless. And it doesn't hold a candle to God's glory and him moving in our lives while we ride the ride. It's a passage of scripture in the book of Exodus. This passage of scripture is close to my heart, and I love getting to teach about it, and I just only don't even feel like we've really got the time for me to do it justice, but we're going to hit it, and this is it. Exodus 3, in verse 10, it says this. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh. This is God talking to Moses, by the way. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Basically, God is saying, Moses, go get the people out of Egypt. You're the man. You lead them. You bring them. You're going to do it. Moses says this. Moses said to God, verse 13, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? Moses is worried. He's concerned. He's basically asking the question, saying, what if I go there and they just look at me and they say, what God is that again? Who is that again? And this is great. In verse 14, it says, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. It goes on, God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. And right there is like God just sealed the deal. He just said, look, he said, I'm not changing. I'm going to be consistent. I've told you who I am, and I am. I am today. I was yesterday. I am going to be tomorrow, and I am going to be forever and ever and ever. I am. And with us understanding that God sealed the deal and just saying, you know what? I'm not changing. You might change, but I'm not changing. Now, you might go do something different. You might go ride somebody else's train for a while, but not me. I'm riding my train, and we're on the track. And you can roll with us, or you can stay here. Moses, of course, at this particular point in time, recognizes that God has called him out and said, Moses, come on, do this. Do this. Do this for me. And he does. And we see some amazing stuff happen in the life of Moses after that. I am has sent you. I am is calling you. And for every one of us in this room, and I'll start with me, I am is wanting things from Chris today that Chris struggles with just giving up. And that's true for every one of us today. We're struggling with things that we don't want to give away. And it may be partly that you've never seen the glory of God. Maybe you've never tasted the goodness of what God could do in your life. But I'm just here to tell you something today. Like it or not, that really shouldn't have anything to do with whether or not we follow God. You see, God created us for Him, to give Him glory, to bring Him fame. And you see, if there's anything that gets God going this morning, and you got to know this because this is good, if there's anything that gets God jacked up today, it is His fame. It is when we bring Him fame. When in just regular talk throughout the day, not just waiting for church on the weekend or whatever, but we just begin to talk to somebody about how God has done something in our lives, that is bringing Him fame. When we do something for somebody that we have nothing to gain from them in return. Heard somebody say just recently that how we treat the people that we have nothing to gain from them is our true character. when we bring God fame, when we do for Him, He is magnified and people recognize it and people will look at you and they will go, what is wrong with you? They're going to look at you and they're going to think, seriously, something's wrong with that person. What is wrong with them? And when they finally get around to asking, you're going to be able to look at them and you're going to be able to say, you know, I'm just doing it because I love God. The glory of God is such a huge thing. To bring Him fame is such a huge thing. There's an illustration by Soren Kierkegaard, and it's put like this, and it's talking about the glory of God. And I want you to hear this because this is pretty cool. And he said, you know, it's kind of like we've got this carriage ride that we're taking, and we're, you know, taking off through the woods on an old-timey carriage, and we got the horses and the whole bit, and you know, we're just enjoying a good time, but we've got these gas lanterns that are hanging on either side of the carriage. And so we're going through the woods, and man, there's a lot of darkness, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff that's going on, but truthfully, it's so dark that we can't see it until a wind comes through and blows those lanterns out. And at the moment when that wind blows those lanterns out, we've gone from an artificial light to being in complete darkness. And the stars light up the sky. And you see, those stars were hidden from us before. But just like those stars are hidden from us before, so is the glory of God in so many of our lives. Because we're not pursuing Him. We're not near Him. And if we're not near Him, then we've just learned in Scripture that if we're not near Him, we're not going to see God as holy. We're not going to experience His holiness, which means we're not going to experience His glory. And I think for so many of us, God is just, He's just waiting for us to blow out the lanterns and just go, God, I want it. I want me and you. And I think honestly, this is probably one of the things, and this is a struggle for me. I think one of the honest to goodness reasons why so many of us are so far away from God is because of this one reason. And if you want some kind of application today, which I'm not real concerned about giving a whole lot of application during this series, because this is kind of the idea of this is just for us to just kind of be in awe of God, who God is. And that in of itself, God will lead us and guide us. But I'm going to give you one piece of application today, and this is it. The reason that so many of us are so far away from God is this. We have no solitude in our life. We don't get away.